commanded.
Thank you very much.
You are most welcome.
Okay. You may be seated. Well, thank you all for coming back. You were with us all morning, and now you're going to be with us at least for some of the afternoon. Rule Petition 1902 in regard to creating a pilot project for interim court rule governing electronic filing in the Court of Appeals and in the Supreme Court. On my list of stars to appear today, I have Sheila Reif, our clerk of the Supreme Court and Court of Appeals, and Judge Randy Koshnick. Before we begin, is there anybody else in the courtroom that intends to speak on 1902? Okay. Well, then, Ms. Reif, I think you are up to bat.
Thank you, Chief Justice and fellow justices. As you said, I'm Sheila Reif. I'm your clerk of Supreme Court and Court of Appeals. I appear before you today not only in that role, but also as a petitioner of this rule petition. Briefly stated, this petition asks the court to approve an e-filing project, pilot project in one district, District 4, the Court of Appeals. In 2002, the Court's Systems Electronic Filing Committee recommended the CCAP development of an electronic filing system to be fully integrated, which also was to include the appellate court. 17 years later, we've achieved the circuit court, but we're not as far as was envisioned for the Court of Appeals. Today, I'm asking for your help in taking another moderate step in that direction. The pilot will include identifying specific appeals that will be handled totally by e-filing. I originally had asked for a judge and a staff attorney to be assigned, but because of the rotation and fairness issue, it would be on cases. We'll identify cases, and then whoever handles that case would handle it strictly by e-filing. And we need that process because we need to make sure if we're going to create a program and through this project, we need to identify any issues that may show up. Before becoming the clerk of the Supreme Court and Court of Appeals, I served for 23 years as the clerk of courts for Walworth County. I worked with CCAP on implementing the case management system originally with CCAP. I did the other conversion with voluntary and then mandatory e-filing for Walworth County. And this is my third project with CCAP. I can tell you that these experiences, that I have total confidence in CCAP and their ability to collaborate with all stakeholders in appellate e-filing to make this pilot project a success. We need to build on the current e-filing experience and momentum that's set in the circuit court. E-filing in the circuit courts has proven beneficial not only for the court system, but also for the bar, other justice partners, parties, and the general public, and who expect efficient and effective work from their government. Parties and lawyers save time and money by reducing the need to print, copy, mail, and deliver massive amounts of paper documents. Lawyers, judges, and court staff can access all court documents on demand, even from remote locations, and simultaneously. They have the ability, more than one person can look at the case, and it's not an issue. We feel the efficiency will outweigh the changes in the workload, and the estimated cost savings from reducing the shipping costs alone is approximately $75,000 a year. As with anything new, there are some concerns and issues to work through. Judge Koshnick has been addressing those issues, and he'll speak to you about that today. As we implement the pilot project, I support the staff attorney and CCAP's idea of forming a work group to help address any concerns and to work through any unexpected technical change and eventually to craft the draft appellate rules that would be needed and presented to the court as a formal rule petition if the court ultimately decides that appellate e-filing should be addressed statewide. I ask the court to appoint a committee that includes Supreme Court Justice and or commissioners, Court of Appeals Judge, Chief Staff Attorney, Judicial Assistant to the Chief Judge, the Clerk of the Supreme Court and Court of Appeals, Office of the State Public Defender, Office of the Attorney General, two or more private bar attorneys from the State Appellate Bar, and CCAP representatives. Now, I have also checked, because of my listserv, for the clerks, the appellate.
I think Justice Abrahamson maybe didn't hear.
Total the number of people you're suggesting for the committee.
How many people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
At least 9 or 10.
9 or 10, okay.
Now, there'll be a work group in the beginning that we can work together, and then the official group that will help with once we get everything on board. So I'll work with CCAP, but I ask that this final group, which was part of the original pilot when they did the circuit court e-filing, and we're asking for that same type group here for the final.
Was that group ever appointed?
Pardon?
Was that group appointed?
It was appointed.
Can it now just move over?
No, we would need new people on the group. And I also checked my listserv for the clerks of the appellate courts and also the clerk of the Supreme Court.
Before we move off of that topic, just so we're clear, the committee to work on e-filing as a working group for the circuit court was not appointed by the Supreme Court, correct?
I thought no, it was not. Okay, it was not.
It was not. Okay, thank you. Please go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
I just wanted to be sure it was clear.
Currently, I checked with some of my fellow clerks in other states about e-filing, and I received 13, besides federal court, having electronic e-filing. There are 13 states that have e-filing. They're either working, most of them have just electronic transmissions. One may require 8 copies. One has eight copies. They're moving towards no copies. Most of them, it's paper on demand, whoever needs that paper. Now, I know with some of the training that some of the technology that's out there, as far as a brief coming in, if we can train the attorneys when they file a brief, if they have a link, they can actually go to that link, and it will take you to the sources like case law that they're quoting or statutes, current statutes, anything that affects the brief itself. So as the court, you can actually view it online and go to that link also.
Would you put the links in the front where we have an index of the cases as the briefs come in? So it would say, Wisconsin reports in the Northwest, and then after that put the Westlaw link? Is that what you're talking about?
We can put them in any order that the court wants.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
That's something that, as through the pilot, we can actually identify the needs and the issues and have.
I'm all in favor of advancing the ball on e-filing. I think you correctly indicate it's more than time to move ahead. My hesitation is I still want to have to be able to have paper copies. That's the hesitation of the staff attorneys who wrote a letter to us also, which draws me to be of interest in exploring, like some of the states where you have e-filing and a reduced number of copies. Count me in for that.
How many?
Talk a little and pick a little. Pick a few. I think there are suggestions, actually, with specific numbers in the letter from all of the staff attorneys, as I saw it, that was signed, that is in number 9 of our tabs, at any rate. These are the staff attorneys from, excuse me, when I say all, I mean staff attorneys, District 2 and 4, No, I take that. I don't know the number. Yeah. At any rate, they do give suggestions as to the number of reduced copies, and it's minimal. So I read your response, and I think, as set forth by these staff attorneys, that that for some people, they can do a better job having access to paper, or at least sometimes having access to paper. So that resonates with me. Also, it isn't clear to me, the second point, if this new change was sent to them. We got their letter in response. There's been kind of a condensed period of time because we want to move this along, a condensed period of time for comment, I think from 6 to 4 weeks, if I remember correctly. And I understood the proposal to be one judge and one staff attorney. And as you said at the beginning, that has to change because of case rotation. My question is, since it directly affects some of them, are they aware of that change? Have they had an opportunity to comment on that change? So
we had a meeting a couple weeks ago, or I think it was about it, and with the staff attorney and a couple of the appellate judges, and that issue was brought up. And so that's why I said today that that needed to be changed because of the rotation.
Okay.
They identified that.
I think the letter is March 19th. That's when all of them signed on. Did they have that information of the change after March 19th or before March 19th?
After.
After. So those who signed it didn't realize the new twist to the proposal.
Well, but now it'll be the way they need it, that it's necessary. This is all a pilot project.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be the first phase of this, and it isn't going to be until, and I need to look at Jean to make sure I'm saying this correctly, in the fall. We have a lot of work to do up front. On my records, the way the system works, and then it goes out to all the other areas. But there's a lot of equipment that can be provided, better printers, color printers. Jean identified how instead of having a cover sheet that's a different color, like red or blue, whatever the colors are, each page will have that color at the top. So you don't have to go back to the front. If you do print it out, you don't have to go back to the front to realize whose brief it is that's filed. There's technology that can be worked into the process. So this is it's a change. I totally understand that it's hard. And if people need their copies, their paper, they can print it.
I know you indicate the cost savings of $75,000. And I am sure that there will be cost savings if it is totally electronic filing on behalf of law firms, and especially some of our more frequent flyers than filers. But I don't think that there necessarily will be cost savings when you add in the having a person, perhaps a staff person, who has to print out all of these briefs for the staff here in the Supreme Court. I asked that there be computations done, and that's a lot of copies that someone's going to be at the printer day in and day out for just our caseload, which is, of course, substantially less than that of the Court of Appeals. So, number one, I think fee shifting is what's going on. And tell me I'm wrong on that. I mean, you have such a broad background, and I respect your background, but I just see it as fee shifting, that people here, I'm going to need copies on a lot of things. Someone's got to do those copies. Some of our clerks are going to want copies. I may be the lone justice in terms of wanting paper in some cases. But my guess is maybe there might be others also. And so I just don't see the substantial savings in fees.
On my other side of my life, in circuit court, when we did the e-filing project, it took, instead of physically, and it'll be this way here also, but when you physically have someone handling the paper, say all these files come in, they go out of my office, they go over to the Court of Appeals, boxes come in, somebody has to handle all those documents, that's going away. Some of the time that they physically handle some of these things is going away. So instead of physically moving that to different offices and doing what they do with that paper, they will be printing it hitting the print button and sending it over. Hitting the print button is not, it doesn't take a lot of time for that to finally come out. So, and then when paper comes into the office electronically in the queue, as they call it, they will be going into those. They'll be reviewing all that online in my office. The front people who get those documents, and then the deputies at the end were the ones that received the bulk of the documents that came through, so we had to readjust duties in the middle. It did not require us to get new people. We just had to be more efficient in how we handled the electronic version when it came in. And some clerks have, it's just a different way of doing business. I've always told, especially when I used to have to appear before the county board, well, if you can make these savings, where can you cut? And I'd say, usually electronic doesn't mean that you're going to be cutting that work. It means you're not creating another job. You become more efficient in the job that you're doing. So this is one of those things that I think if we try it, I think we need to try it to see how it will work. And I hope that there are judges that are willing to try the system as designed. That's the only way we can get a good system. Other states are doing it, and some of those states are going completely paperless. If they have to print off certain parts, they print them. So that's all I can tell you is my experience is that it has worked. I've had attorneys who hated the e-filing system coming into the circuit court, and I had one of them just about a month or two ago. He kind of put his head down. He goes, you know, I was really anti this. He said, but it's really kind of cool.
Well, I'm all in favor of e-filing. I mean, you know, God bless America and God bless e-filing. I'm not in favor of me who has to read word by word and mark it and focus because my job requires me to do it, to necessarily read everything off the screen for hour upon hour a day. I just think I will be less efficient and less effective.
Okay.
God knows we can't afford that.
On that note, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. I have a question, but please.
Yes,
go
please,
ahead.
Go ahead.
On that note, I wanted to follow up. Is there any proposal that for the pilot project that the participants on the judge's side and judge's staff, that they will receive any enhanced technology to use with e-filing? Because to the other Justice Bradley's point, for the volume of reading that we do, and I know the Court of Appeals does as well, to read everything on a screen can be quite taxing on one's eyesight over time, even as the day wears on. And I, too, like to highlight and write. Now, if I were being provided a Surface Pro and I could do that easily on my screen, I would be more amenable to giving it a go. But as I currently work, I do use paper quite a bit. I also use my computer and read a lot already on my computer. But I do like to highlight certain things and write on certain things and take notes that way. So my question is just that. Are there any technological enhancements being proposed for the pilot or being envisioned for the future once the pilot concludes?
CCAP does have a lot of upgrades. I don't know. Do you want to speak to that, Jean, or no? Oh, Judge Koshnick will address it.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
So when will the court see this again?
We're going to have the rule petition as a living document on the side as we progress through this. There are issues on service in circuit court. When someone is in the e-filing, something's filed, a motion is filed, the service is done electronically. We have to see if it's appropriate for the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. So we're going to be working on the rules as we go through the pilot project, and then we will present those to you after we're done.
Okay. So
the rules be in effect as they're being rolled out?
As part of the interim pilot, yes.
And which counties are going to do it?
We're only doing District 1 currently.
Pardon me?
District 4, I mean, excuse me. District 4.
Is the only one you're going to
Is the
to
only on. One we're going to work with
And have
first.
You gotten buy-in from the judges in District 4?
Judge Koshnick will tell you about that, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. He will explain what we've done.
They haven't bought into him yet.
Pardon?
Never mind. Okay.
Have you talked to the Seventh Circuit, their electronic, to see what their experience has been?
I have not.
Okay. All right.
But I will.
Any other questions? Okay.
Well, I'm buying. I'm totally in.
For the record.
We can't imagine why. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Judge Koshnick? I think you're the next one up to bat.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. And I'm primarily here to tell you about how I've been working with the Court of Appeals judges. I remember when e-filing came to the circuit courts, there was a lot of concern about how it would change things. And so I called Judge Lunston, the presiding judge for District 4 Court of Appeals, and I have a good relationship with him, and said, I just want to talk to the judges to make sure this is a smooth transition. I said, I'm going to be your ally. We're not going to force anything on you. We're going to try to make you more efficient. So let's figure out how we can really just talk judge to judge about this. So we had a group that was working on the rules, but I wanted to get the judges together. So I talked to a few other judges. I Judge Fitzpatrick. The Court of Appeals judges then desired to have one or two representatives, and they assigned Judge Hrus and Judge Blanchard to be their official spokespeople. And so they came down. We had a couple of meetings. The second one of which was April 2nd, which was after the letter from the Court of Appeals staff attorneys. And I said, invite whoever you'd like. And they brought one staff attorney with them, and they brought a support person, I think a judicial assistant. And we just sat around the table in my office and talked about concerns they had. And their main concern, which has been voiced by Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, is they wanted paper. They don't want to be forced to go to a computer screen. And so what we liked to call e-filing circuit court was paper on demand. Now, I know there's a difference between typing out a two- or three-page motion in circuit court and printing out a 100-page brief in a Supreme Court case or Court of Appeals case with appendices and so forth. But paper on demand is really what it is. So everything is ideally, filed electronically. And I had Jean Bosquet put some links together, some prototype tools together to show the judges. And when I showed Judge Blanchard the hypertext links in the briefs, his eyes lit up, because we were hypertext linking in the table of contents and the index and the body, not only to appendices, but to other sections of the brief and to external sources like statutes and case law. And he said, boy, that would really be something that would help to sell me on this. When you have your computer, your laptop, your tablet, you can link to everything that is referenced outside of the document. And I understand that the appellate lawyers are more than happy to put that in, because they're going to find it useful as well. So they would gladly, my understanding, generally speaking, is convert to e-filing in appellate cases and include hypertext links to all of the pertinent sections of the pleadings. And so I said to Judge Hrus, well, I said, when I was circuit court judge, there were cases if I had a person pleading to 10 different files, I could do that on my computer screen. I'd need 10 copies of the complaint. So I'd print those out and spread them out and use post-it notes and highlighting and so forth. And that was paper on demand. And he said, well, he really needs, he has big briefs and he carries them around between various locations and he's worried about them coming apart if they're just simply stapled together as opposed to being bound up by Kinko's or some other professional printing shop. And so someone at the table suggested a three-ring binder. And he said, that would actually be a pretty good substitute. If you have a hard cover and a hard back and a three-ring binder, you could pull pages out if you need to. You can take it from place to place. Jean Bosquet also put in enhanced tools, which Justice Rebecca Braley asked about, that we would be getting them the top-of-the-line Adobe Acrobat, which allows you to mark up text as you're reading it, to make margin notes in the margin, to share documents online with other judges. So if you weren't meeting in person, you could work on the same common document by using these electronic tools that would enhance your ability to make those types of edits.
We have Adobe Acrobat on our office computers now. Is that the version that would let us do that? I hadn't thought we could.
I think there's a higher level version. No, you don't have that one. This is the Cadillac version.
Okay.
That we're offering.
Well, we don't get a Cadillac.
Right. Well, would we go e-filing? Yeah, sure. We could do that. So I am sensitive to them. I've been in regular contact with them, and I really do want it to be something that will increase their efficiency and comfort with doing their job. I don't want to harm them. Also, to Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's point, it is a cost shift. We are going to be saving money on the part of the appellate litigants. They're going to save a lot in shipping and putting these briefs together and so forth. That's true. we're also going to be saving money. Right now, the $75,000 that Ms. Reeve talked about is our internal cost for shipping briefs and other pleadings between the Clerk of Court's office and the various districts of the Court of Appeals. That's not their postage. That's our internal UPS and shipping costs.
Why can't you send all of that electronically?
Well, that's the goal. We'd like to send that electronically. Right now, they want the paper.
Let me follow up. Why can't
you send... But that's their problem. They can then get it copied.
The Court of Appeals judges? Right. Well, they asked me to do what I can. I mean, that's true. I mean, ideally, when it's electronic, that's how it'll be. So we'll realize that savings as soon as this is implemented. That's right.
That's right.
And they can print it out. And I did. I also told the staff...
It's cost-shifting. Cost-shifting.
Well, it would be a cost shift in the sense that we may well need more staff to print things out. We may need to get higher quality printers.
Where, at the trial court level or
no,
at the
Court of Appeals office?
Level. Okay.
The staff attorney and the judicial assistant that came to the meeting said, somebody's going to have to print all this stuff out, and there's a lot of volume. And I said, well, we're going to take a look at that in this pilot. We're going to pick out a few cases, probably involving government filers like the DOJ and the State Public Defender, who are both ready, willing, and able to go totally e-filing on a few pilot cases. And so we're, like Ms. Reefa talked about, after we met with the judges, the Court of Appeals judges, we decided we couldn't go and designate one e-filing judge because of the rotation. It's random. They want to keep it that way. That's fine. So we're going to select certain cases and try to process the cases electronically. And Judge Blanchard looked at me and said, we can make that work. We'll work with you to pick out a few cases where we have willing parties. We'll try to do the whole thing electronic, including paper on demand if the judge wants to print out things on paper, and we're going to process it through, because you don't really know unless you send one through the system from beginning to end where the wrinkles are going to be. In the circuit court conversion, we had issues and wrinkles where we didn't expect them, and things we thought would be major hurdles were not really problems at all. So that's how we're going to be doing that. And the cost shift could, for example, if we need a printer, so they like, the Court of Appeals judges like the different color coding on the briefs. So we may want a printer that can input the red line on the top of the petitioner's...
You know, I find this so interesting, this color coding. I had a meeting on something else with Judge Blanchard and Judge Dugan, and I was kidding them about wanting color on the briefs. I said, you know, if you guys decide to move up here, color stays the same. The blue guy is not the guy that lost at the court below. You know, it's the person that didn't prevail in the circuit court, but the colors don't change for us. So.
And they're serious about that.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
Gene Busquet is so brilliant. You know, with the e-filing cases, there's information on the top of each page.
Yep.
This is brief, whatever, page 1 of 6. That's going to be in color on the screen, red or blue, depending on who filed it. So as they're reading in their computer, they can see which side filed the brief. I mean, she can develop a tool to answer almost any demand
paints
that they
have. Paints it blue, right?
Right. Paint it blue or just blue ink on the top of the screen. Or I suppose you could feed blue paper into the printer or have a red printer and a blue printer.
Well, so we're really... You have to go back and learn who's the appellant and appellee and respondent and
right.
All those things. Yeah.
I want to make sure now I understand that the amended approach. As I recall reading this previously, it was one judge who volunteers, and I understand because of rotation that changes, but it was a willing participant, if you will. Are all four or are all of the judges on District 4 Court of Appeals willing volunteers?
I think the secret plan is to make the newly elected judge be told this is the way it is. I don't know.
I'm serious because it's just certain cases that are going to be selected. Is that correct?
I mean, yes.
Then are you able to just give it to the judges who are willing volunteers, or are you going to require them to do it whether they want to or not?
Judge Blanchard looked at me and said, that won't be a problem. So he said he didn't. Okay. I didn't need to talk to him about that anymore. He was confident they could work it out. They could find the judges willing.
So are you still anticipating that it's going to be one judge who's volunteering, or are you anticipating all four and all of them? And if they're all doing it, are they willing volunteers?
I think what we're going to do, and this is a work in progress, identify a case where litigants are ready, willing, and able to submit electronically, probably with government parties, DOJ and public defenders who have identified, and a couple of law firms as well that Ms. Reef has talked to that are anxious to get involved with this. So probably identify the case first and then see which judge is assigned and then get that judge to agree, I assume. I didn't get into the details with Judge Blanchard, he seemed confident they could work it out without a problem. But I don't, no, I'm not going to force anything on anyone. I told them I want to be their ally, and I don't, as a judge, I don't want things forced on me.
Well, and in the Court of Appeals, you got to get three, because it's not one judge like the Circuit Court. I mean, some cases are one judge, but most of them are three-judge cases.
Right, right. So he told me it wouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. And we can see how it goes. We might pick one or two cases and then see how that goes.
We'll see if he shows up to work tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, he could have been here today. I said, are you going to come today if you have a different opinion? And he indicated no, then we're going to come and oppose this. And apparently they're trusting me to address their concerns. They're trying to convey their concerns to you.
It seems like Judge Blanchard is interested in seeing how this might work.
Yes. Oh, yes. And Judge Cruz as well. And okay. They're speaking for their peers on the Court of Appeals, and they expressed his concerns about having paper available. That's a big concern, and I said, I understand that, and we're going to just see what it takes to give them that. And if it means better copier machines or different kinds of paper or three-ring binders, we're going to look at that and then compare the cost savings to the extra expense.
So at this point, if I'm understanding, there is a plan to have different enhanced software, but not different hardware, so no different laptops than are otherwise available. The reason this is important to me is because if you observe this court, you'll see four laptops. Three are not CCAP-issued laptops, and there's a reason for that. Several of us, I won't speak for the others, but I just find Mac to be easier. But if I'm going to, again, be spending a lot of time reading from a screen, the more interactive that can be, the easier you make it for us to highlight and write on it electronically. I'm more than willing and would be happy to try that, but we don't have the resources for that right now, and the laptops that are made available to appellate judges are, what word shall I use? Clunky. And another concern, if you could address as well, again, I won't speak for my colleagues or any of the Court of Appeals judges, but our staff, it's not a 9-to-5 job for them. They're not working from chambers all the time. A lot of them work kind of crazy hours, long hours. They're working from home. And as I understand it right now, they do not have access to what they need. They don't have access to the system from home. So would laptops be issued to our clerks, to our JAs who need access in order to ensure that we're all working as efficiently as we work now with paper?
Well, I'll take it in order that you submitted them to me. We are a PC as opposed to an Apple system, and Gene Vasquez explained to me in the face of other people requesting Apple computers, it just would complicate things tremendously if our support staff had to be equipped to handle both formats. So we're sticking with PC for the time being. I mean, to incorporate Apple computers, that would be a pretty big expense for training of staff and bringing new hardware. Right now, you want to keep things as uniform as you can when you have 249 circuit courtrooms and you have staff going all over the state to maintain the equipment and the software updates. It's a lot simpler if you have one standard format.
And that's fine. I mean, I choose to use Mac for my personal life and that as well, but there are Microsoft-based products that have touch screens, and you can write on the screen, and you can highlight and do all kinds of things that I can't even do on my MacBook. So we could stick with Microsoft line of computers, but it's just the ones that we have available to us now that is not something we can do.
Well, if you need software for an Apple computer, I don't think there'd be a problem to provide you with that software. I don't know if we could offer support on Apple.
No, I'm saying not using Apple computers, but using Microsoft products that allow touchscreen use and highlighting on the screen and writing on the screen with a stylus, that sort of thing.
I don't know why we couldn't do that. There's going to be other savings in the system, and if there was a PC product that offered that, we'd do a cost analysis, but if that's what was needed,
Surface Pro 4 does. That's what I have for my own personal tablet, and you can do all sorts of stuff. It's a PC system.
I don't know why we couldn't. It would really depend on the cost. But I don't think that would be a huge hurdle for us to overcome. As far as the remote access, once again, we have to work that through Jean and her security concerns. With remote access, you do create additional security vulnerabilities. I don't think that would be a problem either. I just can't commit 100% right now without having talked to her support staff. But I know I enjoy remote access now and when I was on the bench, so I think that would be a tremendous benefit. And there's no technical reason we couldn't provide. It would really be more of a security analysis. to make sure we can protect the integrity of the system.
We need a firewall, I think, between the outside and the inside, and I'm sure that's what Gene sets up.
Right. That's right.
If you have enough tech people and enough money, you can do anything.
You're right.
A big if.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Was that a question? I didn't hear.
No.
No, it's my comment on life.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions from Judge Koshnick? Okay, thank you very, very much.
Okay, thank you.
I know, Gene, you didn't sign up to talk, but you've heard some of the court's questions. If you think there's something that you could add that might be helpful to the court as we chew on this, would you please come up and chat with us a little bit? Thank you.
Good afternoon. I have a pencil and paper, so I'm a fan of it also. A couple things we were looking at. We do think that the judges will need something different than the laptops they have. So we were looking at something where they could have a stylus and that they could actually mark up their computer screen just like you do with pen to paper. So that was
one of... Would be an add-on to the equipment they now have.
Sure. And one of the things we could do, again, when I see all of the Macs, we can repurpose the laptops that we've given you if you don't want those, and we can use those elsewhere in the system and then buy the stylus-related Surface or something like that in exchange. So that's what we would look for that. There's also readers. So there's a lot of talk about blue screen or the blue light on the screens and that's really can be hard on people's eyes, makes them stay up at night, headaches and things like that. So there's tablets that are made that are better for reading that we could look at because, again, we understand in the Court of Appeals and for your cases, you're not doing two- or three-page documents but just really high volumes of paper. So we would look at different types of readers that we could make available for you. The other thing they talked about was, yep, we are shifting the printing to the appellate courts, right? We're not going to make the lawyers do it. We would shift that. We would look at not using our laser printers. There's a lot of nicer high-end copiers, and every one of the appellate courts is provided with these high-end copiers. Many of them are due for replacement. So we would look at what we could do to make those bound copies or something that would be easily inserted into three-ring binders or something like that so some person isn't standing there, you know, programming seven copies and standing at the copier all day. It would be something we'd try to do more automated.
Who would pay for all of this?
So we would see this this money that we would save from the shipping costs to try to reinvest that back
who
in.
Who pays for the shipping costs now?
That's out of the clerk of court's budget, I'm pretty
sure. Clerk of court. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to shift this cost to the clerk of court? No.
So the... What we would do is the $75,000 is the clerk of court's budget. I believe that's also attached to the Supreme Court's budget. So this equipment would go back into the system for the same people. It would just be repurposed to provide the technology.
And you also have a $20 filing fee, don't you?
We do have a $20 filing fee. Mm-hmm. But again, when we look at the volume of the filings in the appellate and the Supreme Court, that's not a lot of funding. I think the shipping cost is probably higher than what we would expect to get from the e-filing fee.
Mm-hmm. And I can understand the shipping costs in part because right now the rules of appellate procedure require what I think is an abundance more than is needed. For instance, for the Supreme Court, I think that is a minimum of 25 copies of everything. I'm not sure we really need that. I know the staff attorneys indicated in one judge appeals, all they need is two. And right now, I think a minimum of, if there's only one party on the other side of the only one defendant, a minimum of 13. So what I'm doing is... through that comment, getting in my view of life, that we could do it with reduced copies.
You could do that. I think what we'd like to see in the pilot is to try to do it without any copies. And what we might find in the pilot is that's just not going to work. The appellate courts are different. It can't work. That's why we want to do the pilot. And one of the things that we talked to the Court of Appeals judges about was we want you to try it, even if you are paper people. And the reason is we want to know that we get it right for the judges. So we want to build something and the next generation of judges come in, they never use their legal pads, they always had laptops, they don't know any different. We want to make sure what we build out isn't working only for the attorney's office and the clerk's office, but also for everybody that's up on the bench. So that's kind of what we're looking for, where we really are stressing that we'd like to try to go paperless on the pilot.
Now, that will affect the Court of Appeals, and we're talking about District 4 being sort of the guinea pigs for some cases that will come through. Will there be anything that comes up to this court as part of this pilot?
We don't anticipate that, and so the whole idea is we're thinking the circuit courts are done, phase two is appellate courts, and then phase three is Supreme Court. That way it's kind of like we always say, we don't pilot in Milwaukee. We don't want to pilot with the Supreme Court. We want to make sure we get all the kinks worked out before we come to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
So the only...
So are the judges in tune with you doing that?
Going with only paper on demand? When we spoke with Judge Cruz and Judge Blanchard...
Judge who?
Cruz. And Judge Blanchard, they both understood the concept and why we thought we needed to go forward this way, and they seemed amenable.
It'll be just limited cases. So.
Right. It's not going to be every case.
Is that going to give the judges, though, a good feel of how it will work? Because even though I have some misgivings about moving to all electronic, if it were just a case or two for me, oh, sure, that would be no problem. And given the volume at the Court of Appeals, if they're just trying it out. And I understand, you know, as an initial stage, it makes perfect sense. But to really give judges and staff a feel for how it's going to work, I think they'd need to do a whole month's worth, every case, e-filing and no paper, and then see if they're as amenable to it. So is there a phased... Are there phases envisioned for this pilot?
Yes, so I think what we want to do is identify one or two cases to start with again, probably the justice partners as attorneys. They already work with us in the circuit courts. I think they'd be really good to start with for that. And then once we, what I'm hoping will happen, and it did happen in the circuit courts, we had people who said, no, we do not want anything to do with this. We were really worried about people just kind of throwing their hands up and stopping the e-filing system from going forward. And once people got into it and they towed the water, their comfort level, you know, arose with, this isn't so bad, and here's some of the good things I can get from it with the additional tools and the ability to do things remotely that they can't do now. So we don't envision that we're going to start and say, you're going to do everything this month that way, but I think through the pilot, we would like to evolve that way.
Yeah, so you're going to increase the volume. Once you do a few cases and check it out, then you add a few more cases.
And what we hope is if we have one or two kind of champions of it in the district, that will kind of, you know, go throughout the district. Is
that built into your pilot program?
Pardon?
Is this expansion built into your pilot program?
Mm-hmm. It's all part of the pilot.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
I think your comments are very helpful to us. That concludes then. I shouldn't say that. Ms. Reif, is there anything else you wanted to add given what was said after you had a chance to present?
Thank you.
No? Okay. Then that will conclude the hearing in 1902. The court will meet in closed conference at 2:30. We are adjourned.